Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here on this late-breaking show. We're here to talk about NBA trades. We've got one that just came, that just broke minutes before we went on the air, and it is the report that the Memphis Grizzlies traded Andre Iguodala to the Miami Heat for a bunch of stuff. We're still actually trying to figure out the details, but what's crazy is that in this trade, Iguodala agreed to a 2-year, $30 million extension with Miami. And that's just insane. Like, the dude is washed up. We think that, Chris and I think that he's washed up as we speak. But anyway, that's the theme of the night tonight. And Steve Mills is fired by the Knicks too, but let's not waste any time on him. He's a clown. The Knicks are clowns too. So, a lot of trade talk to come. Just so much juice. Let us jump it. The NBA report for February 5th. Not a lot of time to really set this up. We just got stuff breaking as we speak. The trade deadline is on Thursday, at some point during the day, I believe. What time did I write here? I don't know what time, but I think it's supposed to be around 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, and it is 9:50 Eastern on a Wednesday, and we've already got a couple of pretty significant trades in the book. So let's go ahead and bring in our co-hosts. That would be Chris and Georgia. Chris, how's it going tonight? Welcome back.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. Doing okay. The trade deadline special. Here we go. Let's fire it up.
You know, it was funny. We were gonna do it yesterday, right? Things didn't work out. We had our, you know, we wanted to put it off for another day, which I was happy to do. And as it turns out, I think it was a better decision because now we've just got juice. We have actual juice to talk about rather than just predicting it. Stuff's happening. And so I just wanted to make a couple points about the Iguodala trade before handing it to you to talk about this trade. I think at the moment, I would say he was the biggest name available. Kevin Love, too, but I don't think that's a serious thing. I don't think that's really going to happen. Capella was the other big name. He got traded yesterday in a four-teamer that involved the Nuggets and the Timberwolves and who else? Well, the Rockets, obviously, but Atlanta. So you know that you're close to that situation.
Absolutely.
So that we'll get into shortly. But since this is one just broke, we'll Iguodala first. So now on Iguodala, I did not understand why the Lakers were going so hard after him. There were some reports about that earlier in the day. The guy is old. I don't think he's got much left in the tank. And so I didn't like the idea of trading, for example, someone like Danny Green, which I am now reading that they want to trade Danny Green in order to get Marcus Morris. That's a terrible idea. That's terrible. But back to Iguodala. The guy was pounding the entire season. He didn't play with the team. And all the rumblings from various media that the Grizzlies should have bought him out, I'm like, no way. No way. You can't reward him for not wanting to participate on the team. That's ridiculous. And as it is, I think the Grizzlies were being generous to just let him sit. And honestly, it probably was for the best because the team's actually playing okay. They're having some... They got juice. It's a fun team. Ja Morant's having a great rookie season. They don't really need him. So it turns out that Iguodala was doing them a favor. So I don't really know why anybody really would want to go out of their way to get him. He's just not that great. He's rusty. He hasn't played one bounce, you know, since the off season, since the finals, really. So I don't really get it. So now we have the trade. In this trade, Justice Winslow, is part of the package from Miami headed to Memphis, And I think, let me see. I think that was that. And as we mentioned, I don't know who made the extension, but he got a 2-year, $30 million extension with Miami. I guess Miami did this, but so that in and of itself doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think that's really weird. I don't know why they would do that. I just, for what? He's already like 36, isn't he, Chris? Like he's not getting any old. He's not getting any younger. I don't think that's,
he's really not getting any younger.
No, I mean, he looked pretty slow in his last season with Golden State. This does not make any sense. It really does not make sense. So now I'm going to give it to you to break some of this down. I mean, I'm reading this right off the wire from ESPN. What is your feel of this for this trade? And I'm, first of all, I am glad that the Lakers didn't get him, because that would have been a disaster. I don't think he would have been good for the team chemistry at all. That would have been a horrendous move. And I'm actually already angry that they were even trying that hard to get him. Why? He's just not that good. All right, Chris, I'll give it to you now for your thoughts.
Yeah, I remember the was in the finals last year when we started getting, not we, but there was a collective we that talking about Andre Iguodala Hall of Famer. Remember that?
And
I agree to a point. I mean, I think he could still be useful as a bench player and, you know, kind of a defensive stopper a little bit. But you're right. He's rusty, man. He hasn't played all year. And there was a certain point this season when I figured, okay, you know what he's going to do? He's going to see Memphis is doing well, and he's just going to say, okay, I got to play. And that never happened. And it was just so weird that he had this, you know, I guess a short list of teams, I guess it was the Lakers, Clippers, Miami must have been on there, of teams that he would agree to a trade, and just had no interest in playing basketball. Like, I mean, that in itself is sort of a red flag for me. I mean, I want the guy who's like champing at the bit to get out there and show what he can do. And if you're 37 and you're not, I mean, there's no way he's in game shape right now. You know, he's missed, you know, over 40 games. I mean, what kind of shape is he in? So I'm not that high on it. Especially considering, I guess one of the terms of the deal was that Miami had to extend him for another year. So he's going to be making $30 million over 2 years at his age 37 and 38 seasons. That just seems crazy. And it's so funny too, because I was thinking about the Heat today and how they kind of transformed themselves. You know, they got a whole lot younger and they brought in all these young guys and they've been really, really good. And then this trade happens and the extension, and Justice Winslow, who's been banged up, and it's not like they got a superstar in the making, but he's a really useful player. And I just to give up on a young guy like that seemed very odd. But Riley's good. He knows what he's doing. So maybe he's got an angle that I haven't figured out yet.
And, I don't know, Chris. That this is ponderous. I mean, I know he's been great, but even Riles can't. He can't be that good. Like I don't really get this.
I can tell you're riled up just because. I mean, we had one of the biggest trades in the last 15 years in the NBA go down, and you're leading with an Iguodala one, which I think is funny. I mean, it's totally valid, but I just think it's funny.
It is. I know what you mean. I know this shouldn't
legit
be
episode. Blockbuster.
We shouldn't be spending this much time on this, but it's a little close to home because the Lakers almost got him. And that,
did they almost get him? Is that what you're?
Well,
you're
that
hearing?
Was. I think they wanted to, and it just didn't work out. They couldn't figure out the other teams, and I'm like, the idea that you would try that hard to get him, and then the idea that the Heat did get him and give him an extension. I'm like, this is stupid. I mean, as much as, and I have so much respect for Riles. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer as a coach and as an executive. But I gotta be honest. I think this is too risky. I would be very surprised if he was gonna make that much of a difference, especially where you talk about giving up Justice Winslow. I know they need a piece, but the piece's name is not Andre Iguodala. There must be more coming if they're really going to commit this kind of a deal to him. Yeah. In other words, I think the Heat are going to make another trade tomorrow.
Well, the rumor is that this is – and the reason that all the details haven't come out yet is that the Heat are trying to make another deal, and they're trying to include Oklahoma City apparently as part of this deal.
Oh, is that
right? And to bring Gallinari. But I can't wrap my head around how that would work. Like, what happens? So, like, Memphis trades. I don't know. I can't wrap my head around what would come next. But
yeah.
But that is apparently their, you know, that's what their next move is. And that's speculation is why that trade is not. Has not completely been announced yet. But as I was looking at the Lakers, I was thinking, wow, you know, because it's a hard match, right? I mean, Iguodala is making $17 million this year, which is a lot, right? So you got to have those salaries that come kind of close to matching. And the only thing I could figure is that they were going to offer the same kind of deal that we talked about a minute ago, which was Danny Green and Kuzma, who's only making about $2 million. For Iguodala and the salaries that would have
been a disgrace. That you can't trade Danny Green for him. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, it didn't happen. You should be happy. I mean, if I were the Lakers, I mean, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. Who knows how valid the Marcus Morris rumor is? I mean, that could be complete garbage. But. That doesn't make sense to me either, because I would think they'd be looking at guards and guys who can fill it up from outside. I mean, isn't that what they need? I mean, that's what I see when I watch the Lakers, is that they need perimeter guys.
Yeah.
And like Iguodala and Marcus Morris don't kind of fit that bill for me. I don't know, but again, That's why I'm watching on my couch and not working in the front office. But it just – that seems strange to me.
It is always possible that they know something that we don't know with this whole situation. But that just does not make – I've just never seen it. I'm just looking at this highlight. The Raptors just took the lead on the Pacers. An 11-0 scoring run. Did they win the game? Let's see. I'm just watching this as we see this. Wow. Did you see that game?
I did not. I've been kind of wrapped up in other things, so I didn't watch any of these games.
Okay. Well, this is
which I'm totally out of the loop.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great comeback by Toronto. Wow. That's a good team too, the Pacers. But yeah, no, I'm with you with a lot of that. And just as ridiculous is the trade rumors that they were trying to get rid of Caruso. They don't have a good bench, right? The Lakers don't have that great a bench. But Caruso's one of the best bench players that they've got. And sometimes he starts.
Yeah.
And he's one of the most tough-nosed perimeter defenders on the team. And he can be pretty decent at shooting three as well. And his court vision, we were talking about all this a couple weeks ago. You can't trade that guy. That is ridiculous. Like, what are you trading him for? Like, what was the one I saw? I saw maybe you passed it to me, but he was definitely – they said multiple teams are interested in trading for Alex Caruso. They did not mention –
I did not see that. So you're going to have to fill me in.
That just happened this afternoon. Like, it was just like, this is absurd. Like, you can't trade that guy. And the kicker was when Mark Haynes – from Yahoo Sports said that if they traded him, they wouldn't really be missing much. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, do you even watch the Lakers? Like, you have any idea how much of a fan favorite he is here and how big of a difference he makes during the third and fourth quarters? Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, it just like, why would you, how could you even say that? Like, that I just didn't understand. And then the other one, which I actually would endorse, and I think a lot of Laker fans would endorse this too. the trade of Kyle Kuzma to the Knicks for Marcus Morris, and I assume there'll be other parts involved too, but
Danny Green was the other guy in that. That was the other. Is that?
I think you're right. I think Green was part of that.
It was Green and Kuzma for Marcus Morris. And again,
I don't like that.
You're giving up one of your better shooters.
Exactly.
Green.
Like Marcus Morris is good, but I like him as a complement to Green. You cannot have him in exchange for Green. You're going to lose value in that because Green's defense is very good.
Morris is. I mean, he's had a good season for the Knicks, and he's done well. He's one of the most frustrating players to watch. I watched him the last 2 years.
Oh, sure. Right,
and you watch the ball go into his hands and just never come out. He never passes. It's like if he gets the ball, he's going to shoot. It's just the ball dies there. And so – I just don't like that type of player. Unless his name is Michael Jordan, I don't want that kind of player on my team.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that for the Lakers. I think Danny Green's like a perfect compliment. For this particular Lakers edition. I feel like I don't see why you'd be in a rush to get rid of that guy. No. I mean, I guess the only reason is like his salary is such that, you can make it fit, but I just think it's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
They just signed him. Signed him in the off season. Why would you try to get rid of him that early? He's not that bad right now. I mean, Green, it's specifically. Yeah. Like, Kuzma's had his chances. Like, he's not going to fit in the system. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
He needs to start in order to have them get the most out of the get the most out of his skill set. So, I mean, trading Kuzma.
Yeah, the weird problem with Kuzma is he's only making $2 million. You know, so it's hard. You need that salary balance to fill, to make it most deals work, unless you can find someone who's making almost the exact same amount.
Yeah.
It's just tough. I mean,
yeah.
So it's a weird problem to have, but it is. Yeah. That's the one thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I think that's fine. Well, first of all, I should apologize too because I've been on these two smaller transactions.
We've had
like a four-team trade.
I know. that
we haven't even gotten to yet. We're like 17 minutes into the show. So let's get to it now.
And I got to be honest, I am not – I haven't put myself in the shoes of the Timberwolves completely. Like, what is this like for Burma?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, let's...
And what's in it for Atlanta? Like, I didn't understand the point of this from the Atlanta point of view. Like, what are you gaining by getting rid of? Yeah.
Should we jump in and should we just say what the players are and then we'll.
Okay. Let me run this down. Okay. I should run this down. Okay. So here's a trade. It's a four team trade. In the trade, let's see if I got this here. Okay. All right. So. The Rockets had been trying to trade Clint Capella for quite some time. And I think they did, in fact, want a guy by the name of Robert Covington, who was at the time with the Timberwolves. So those two players exchanged teams right off the bat. But because this is the NBA and you have to have equal salary, you have to get other teams involved to make the salaries match. So these other things happened as well. Jordan Bell came from the Timberwolves to the Rockets. And the Hawks' 2024 second round pick also went their way to Houston. The Hawks will get Clint Capella, who will do absolutely nothing in Atlanta. Sorry, but and Nene from Nene is on the Rockets. I didn't know. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Nuggets will get the Timberwolves' Kata Bates Diop, Shabazz Napier, Vona Vonleh, and the Rockets' Gerald Green, who's not even playing because he's hurt, and then Houston's first-round pick in 2020. The Wolves will get the Nuggets' Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernan Gomez. I remember him a little bit. And I think he was both of those guys were from Minnesota, and Jared Vanderbilt, as well as the Hawks' Evan Turner, and the Hawks' 2020 first-round pick via the Brooklyn Nets. So anyway, I don't know what the hell Atlanta's doing. That just makes no sense. I don't know what – they're getting absolutely nothing. Maybe some picks, but I think they sent like two picks already for this transaction. They're like, if 52 games under 500, is that what I, something like that? They're really, really bad right now. I guess what I would say for Houston is that they were trying to dump Capella's salary, because I that was what I was thinking.
And Nene's salary was Nene too.
Right.
And that was just dead money.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, they succeeded. getting Covington, I think he's a pretty solid player, but as you pointed out in text, you're now creating a team that is one of the smallest teams in the NBA, if not the smallest. Definitely the smallest starting lineup in the entire league. Where nobody
Covington's
has
the tallest player on that roster.
Wait, who,
on
Harden
that starting five, rather.
Wait, who is?
Covington.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that, yeah. Yeah, he's got some decent length for a forward. So, no, I'm with you. But he's not that tall, you know? Like, he's just like...
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the Wolves are... I mean, the Rockets are probably not thinking about this year very much, to be honest. I do think that it was wise to get out from the Capella contract, because I don't think he's that good a basketball player, Chris. I just don't think he's really got any talent at all. He can rebound the ball. He can slam it sometimes. I mean, that's about it. I don't really see him being that great a shooter. I don't remember his defense. I mean, other than his, like I said, like, is his actual defense in the open court, like outside of the paint, good? I don't know, I'll let you decide that. I mean, you can share your thoughts. I mean, he might be an okay defender, but he just doesn't. He's a garbage picker upper, much like DJ used to be on the Clippers. So I don't really think he's that talented. So it's just kind of a lot of money to pay for somebody like that. And I think if the Rockets were smarter, they wouldn't even have done that in the first place. I just think that when they gave him that contract, I was like, what? I didn't really like it. So trading to kind of cut your losses, probably not the worst idea. And I just think that what you've got now is you've got a team that probably is like a middle-of-the-road team. But, you know, like we were saying on the last show we did, they're not going to be that serious a contender to win a championship. And that would have been the case even before the trade. So there's a lot to unpack here. Chris, I'll give it to you for your thoughts.
All right. So we'll talk about the Hawks first. We're going alphabetical order. I don't dislike it for Atlanta from this standpoint. They have a gaping hole at center. They've been playing Alex Len, and mostly Alex Len and Damian Jones at center. Damian Jones is the guy they got from the Warriors, who's pretty mediocre. Capella gives him pretty good D in the middle, and he hasn't been the same since he signed that extension. It's a four-year deal, but he's still loads better than whoever they've been playing since this year. And I think he's a pretty good pick and roll guy. I think that's what they're looking at from an offensive standpoint. And you're correct, he's not a floor spacer. You're not going to be like putting him out on the perimeter and forcing big to come out and guard him. That's just not going to happen. But he is a little bit of a garbage guy. I mean, I think KOC refers to him as a rim runner. I think he's a big upgrade for the Hawks. So I do like it from that standpoint. I mean, yeah, they gave up that Nets pick, which won't be – the Nets are going to make the playoffs. I mean, as bad as they are, they're still going to make the playoffs. But I think he helps in that regard. And, a team like the Hawks, it's hard to attract free agents and hard to bring guys in. And I think, you end up spending money much worse than this. So I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it from the Hawks standpoint. We'll see how it goes. I mean, you could be rubbing in my face a year from now, so we'll see. The Rockets are arguably the most interesting team in basketball right now, because they're zagging when everyone's zigging. You know, it's like, you know, the Sixers went large this offseason. The Lakers obviously are a pretty tall team. When they want to be, they can bring in, you know, they can play JaVale, AD, and LeBron up front. And that is just a gigantic front court. And then, you know, we talk about, you know, when you look at the Rockets, you know, yeah, Rocco Covington is 6'7". He's the tallest guy on the team. And then PJ Tucker, 6'5", Harden, 6'5", Gordon, 6'3", and Westbrook, 6'3". It is crazy. But it's also fun. And they'll make mismatches because who's the center on that team? Is it Tucker? Is it Covington? Big guys are going to have to go out there and guard them. I mean, Covington's a good three-point shooter. And they're going to make the bigs kind of chase him around a little bit. I'm not saying it's going to work 100% of the time, but it'll be at least fun. And one thing I appreciate about Morey, he's always like looking for like something new. And just when you think like their cap situation's a mess, and like, you know, when they traded for Westbrook, it was like, wow, what a disaster. And Westbrook's played well recently. They pulled this off, and I think they created like $12 million below the below the salary cap. So they could actually, I think that if I'm not mistaken, they can go out and make another trade, which is pretty unbelievable considering where they were coming from, because that Nene contract was terrible. The Hawks are just going to cut him probably. What are the other teams? So, you know, if you're the Timberwolves, you've been well, let's do the Nuggets. The Nuggets get Kata Bates Diop, who's a second-year guy out of Ohio State. They also get Jared Vanderbilt and Shabazz Napier, who's really – like I was kind of surprised that the Timberwolves traded him because he'd been their starting point guard for like the last week or so and put up pretty good numbers and he's done well. But maybe the Nuggets felt like, you know, I mean, they needed a little bit more guard depth. I mean, I know they traded Beasley. So from that standpoint, I'm okay with it for Denver. And we talked about it, like they needed some guard help. And then they also get the Rockets first round pick, right? Which probably won't amount to much, but, and then the Wolves get, Beasley, Hernan Gomez, right? And do I have it right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then they got Vanderbilt. And then they got Evan Turner, right? Evan Turner from the Hawks.
Yes, Evan Turner and the Hawks 2020 first round pick.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're the Wolves, you're like, well, we get that first round pick of the Nets. That could amount to something. We're not going anywhere. And stay tuned on them because maybe there's another deal coming.
Are we talking about Atlanta?
The T Wolves. No, the T Wolves. There's a Wolves around. Wiggins might be on the move, so that would be interesting. The amount of money that would have to be, you know, shifted around to make that happen is kind of because his annual contract, I mean, he's basically making a max. His annual salary, let me just double check it, but it is insane. I don't even know. Yeah, he's making $27 million this year, so. I don't know what the fit is there, but I've been seeing rumors that he could be on the go too. So, I'm mildly interested in Capella, what he can do with the Hawks, but you know, he's been kind of banged up, but that Houston team's going to be a fun little experiment and I can't wait to see it in real life. So, we'll watch out for that. That'll be fun.
You will get to see it in real life on TNT tomorrow night as they go to the Lakers to play LA, who has their own trade has their own series of trade rumors right now. We talked about a lot of it already, and I think it doesn't seem like that's it really doesn't seem like it's a good idea to trade Green or Caruso. And even Kuzma, I'm okay with, but you did mention the salary not being that high, so it's not like they'd get much of a salary relief. By getting rid of him. It's just a matter of getting a player that can do similar skill set for similar money. But where are you going to find that? Like, anybody that's young, I think, would be under team control for a significant amount of time.
You just have to find that team that the fit isn't quite right, they need a front court player like that, a front court scorer.
Yep.
Those other deals do not make sense to me from the Lakers standpoint.
I don't get it. Like, are they just not watching the games? Like, what? How could they be that? Well, actually, I should be more specific. I should be fair. The other teams are going after Caruso. The Lakers are not trying to get rid of him. It's just that these other teams were really interested in him. And I think that's actually a high mark on Pelinka for finding him, because the end result is now you've got teams around the league, more than one, that are trying to make a deal to get him. And so that's I think if you're Alex Caruso, you look at that, you go, wow, I must be doing pretty well this year. But the Lakers have got to be smart enough here to not fall into the trap. There's nothing, I don't see any trade that they could get where a guy like Caruso, who's not even making that much money in the first place, would be worth giving up for anybody of similar value. So it would really be a mistake if they traded him either tonight or tomorrow. And I'm hopeful that they don't go that far. But at least with him, it's not so much that the Lakers are trying to trade him. It's just that it's working out where other people want him. And then you mentioned earlier the trade for Marcus Morris was going to involve him and Danny Green. No, I think you said Green and Kuzma on that one. Which in itself is dumb. Like, we talked about that already. I don't like that idea. I don't think that's a good idea. So,
Dave, can I interrupt with we have a Woj bomb.
Another
since we've been on the air, and I don't know if you can cue up an explosion that'd be sick, but so here's the deal. Sacramento Kings, and this is my hometown, Atlanta Hawks. Sacramento Kings trading Dwayne Dedman to Atlanta for Jabari Parker and Alex Len. Now here's the interesting wrinkle. Okay, I was just saying they need a center, right?
Right.
And Dedman played with the Hawks for the last two years. And was good, and he apparently hated Sacramento, even though that's where he signed that big deal, and just wanted out. And I was just saying they need a big man, they got Capella. Now they just traded for another big man, which is interesting. And they also get two number twos in the deal. Little minor Woj bomb there, and your thoughts on that one?
So wait, let me run that. So Dedman
to Atlanta.
To Atlanta, okay.
And then the Kings get Jabari Parker and Alex Len. Now here's why I like it for Atlanta. Dedman has proven he can be a good, like, for a big guy, he's a good shooter. Mm-hmm. And he can kind of move around, and he can hit the three, and so I think it's great for them. But it just kind of has me scratching my head, like, all right, you just made two moves for centers. I mean, granted, you traded you traded big guys for Dedman. I mean, Len and Parker's he's a big forward, so. So you're kind of, you're trading size for size, but it is interesting that was what they addressed with Capella, and when it all shakes out, wonder what the hierarchy is, it's like you start Capella, I guess, and then you bring Dedman off the bench. I don't know. It's kind of interesting, especially considering where the NBA is now, where you're kind of going away from, true bigs, and just to have you know, two of them there. It's kind of seems like a weird fit. But anyways, just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm refreshing the Woj Twitter feed furiously just to get more details.
Well, I mean, I mean, Alex Len, I remember him a little bit. I mean, it doesn't seem. I mean, there's a lot of players moving, and just like I don't know how many of those guys are impact guys. I think is my comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, Deadman's pretty good. I think Deadman's. I think he's a help. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, I agree about Len. I mean, he's serviceable, but you know, he's. In my opinion, he's like a backup center on most teams. I mean, right. He wasn't on the Hawks this year, but
right.
I'm just not a Jabari fan, though. I never really was that high on him. And then he had that comment a few years ago where he just said he was talking about how he doesn't play defense, and he was kind of proud of the fact. And he's like, okay, this guy's a loser.
A little bit, yeah, exactly. He would fit in great with Washington.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's your team.
Yeah. So, God, man, all right. So breaking news here on the program. Very good. And so we covered the big trade. It is going to be very interesting for the Houston Rockets in the near future. I don't really know how many more games they can win with this kind of team. We're going to find out, guys. So on we go. Let's see. We were talking about D'Angelo Russell on our last regular show, and we both agreed that we didn't see him getting traded during the midseason. We thought that the trade would happen after the season's over. I still believe that. I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, we haven't really even seen any actual reports about teams that want him, guys that they're trying to get to make it happen. So as far as I know, it's probably not going to be, you're probably not seeing that trade. Have you seen anything to the effect of movement towards a mid-season D'Angelo Russell trade from Golden State?
No, there's a Knicks rumor. And I think it was the Knicks and the Timberwolves were the two I heard.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks, I can't remember who the deal was. I mean, the Knicks are in a lot of guys because they have that. They have all those expiring contracts on those forwards like Portis and Marcus Morris and so forth. I mean, the only guy who they signed more than 1 year was Randall. And then I think the T-Wolves might have been the one I was hearing about with Wiggins. I think where that there could be a match there, which just kind of boggles my mind because. Because Golden State really, it just doesn't seem like a Golden State type player. I mean, he's just a very inefficient forward, doesn't play great defense. I don't know. Maybe they think they can turn him around or bring him into the right atmosphere. You know, playing with Steph and Clay and Dre, and it'll work out. But those are the two rumors I heard. I mean, who knows? I mean, but I think. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they did move him, just because, you know, where is he going to play ultimately? I mean, you know, this guy was an all-star last year, and then next year, what, you're going to bring him off the bench? I mean, how's that going to work? So, yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, I guess we'll see, but. The Warriors have had some strange trade ideas these last 2 weeks. That much I know. Let's move on. Let's see. We could talk about that Kuzma. No, we did. We kind of got into that already. Let's see. So we have next the Pacers reporting to trade TJ Leaf. Now TJ Leaf used to play for UCLA,
and yep. So
he was all right. I mean, he was a pretty big guy. He was in a heat. Now this season, he is averaging 3.0 points and 2.7 rebounds and has appeared in just 22 games. So obviously the Pacers don't think he's that exciting. So they want to trade him. I'm not, I don't know what they're going to get for him. It seems that he has been on the team already for 2 years, and this is his third season now. So I think the Pacers want to move and shake this roster, and this could help them. I don't think they're paying very much for him. So there's no real report as far as who they have in mind to trade with, and I don't even know if anyone's going to go for him at this point. So there's not much to say other than the fact that the Pacers do want to get rid of him, and if they can find a deal, they'll make it happen.
Well, the Kuzma for TJ Leaf works in the ESPN trade machine, so how do you feel about that one?
Well, I think that's just going to make it worse. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. That's
a
weird
one. Game, man. That's no good.
Where'd that come from? TJ Leaf. I mean, he's fine. I mean, look, I mean, I'm actually just running it through there just to make sure I got that right. But I think that would try this trade. It is successful. So there you go, Dave. That's what we're looking at.
There you go.
I mean, but I don't know. I mean, where'd you hear that one?
Oh, that was one of the ESPN reports that I have here written down. Let's keep going. Something a little bit more significant. Is this even a headline? I bet it is. So next, the Clippers are reportedly eyeing big men, Collison. I guess they don't think Collison's that big. I don't think he is, actually. I don't think he's that big. So Collison has been rumored to be interested in coming out of retirement to play for a contender. So that's part of the situation with LA. The Clippers do have a pretty decent bench, but I do think that they might find Collison useful. So currently, they have been calling around, looking at center help, wings, and guards who can score. This is coming from the NBA's report, and taking some information from the LA Times as well. So there's nothing finalized. There's not even a concrete idea of what the trade would be, but Collison has been interested in getting back in the NBA. The Clippers may find use for him, and they're going to be active, I think, in the next few hours. So where are you with the Clippers?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I've been hearing about the Clippers is that Montrez might be on the go because he's in the last year of his contract, and they're not sure that they want to commit the amount of money that it's going to take to re-sign him. But other than that, I guess a backup point guard makes some sense. I mean, I know that obviously Beverly starts there, but I guess technically Lou Williams is a point guard, but he feels a little more like a shooting guard at times. But I don't really see that as a glaring need. But the one thing I've been hearing, and you're right about the bench, is being pretty strong, is just that Harold, you know, don't be surprised to see him on the go, which is kind of crazy to think about because, you know, he's been such a big part of their team this year.
Yeah, you know, you literally took that out of my mouth. I was going to say he's been a big part of the team this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he plays with so much power. I went to a Clippers game like a few weeks ago, and he and Beverly are just playing all out all the time, and I don't know. I kind of like this team, and I kind of want to, you know, I'd like to see him keep at least the starting five intact without messing it up before they can. Before the playoffs, I would just want to kind of see what they can actually do. And I know we talked offline about the Clippers and they're kind of a disappointment, but I think they're the 2 seed in the West, so they're not that bad. And I think, once they get into a routine in the playoffs where George and Kawhi are playing, they're going to be tough. They're going to be really nasty. So, I don't see a glaring need for them. I mean, I think they were definitely in on the I think they were trying to get Covington. I think Covington was the big piece, right? I mean, I think that they were coming in on, but
Now he's off the board, right?
Now he's off the board, yeah. So So, I don't know. I mean, like, some of these teams are, you know, I think they could afford to stand pat at this point, but who knows? I mean, like, you know, last year they shocked us all and they traded half the team away. So, yeah, I mean, just think about that. They traded Gallo and they traded Tobias Harris and they traded, well, actually, you know, Gallo was in the offseason, but they traded Tobias Harris and Boban and middle of the season. So they're not gun shy when it comes to these things.
Right. Now, I mean, so they don't need to make a big trade. A team that does need to make a big trade like that for perhaps a guard or perhaps a wing. Really, I think they need to do it for the guard is the Nuggets. I think you continue to have that problem of who's going to be the closer at the end of the game. And you know, Verno and KOC on the Ringer NBA show made a good point in that you rarely see a big play the role of the closer in an NBA game when it's tight and it's late. It's just tough to do that. Like, because he's always, I don't know why, but, you know, he's not going to be able to dribble the ball and, you know, run around the court at the end of the game. You know what I mean? Like, usually somebody else has to set him up.
Yeah, you're going to run Embiid off a screen on an inbounds for the open three.
Yeah, well,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not likely. So you do need a guard that can create his own shot. This is why it's so important to have that kind of a player at the end of the game. So the Clippers don't need that, clearly. They've got Kawhi. He's great. And the Lakers have LeBron. The who else? We have players like that, and, you know, on a lot of teams. The Sixers are an interesting case. I guess you would say Simmons, maybe. I'm not even sure. Right? Because, like, you know, Embiid's our best one. I don't, you know, maybe you say Embiid, but kind of like you said, like, he's a big two, and that's going to be tough. So, to me, I think you need to have at least a guard that can be a good bench player that can be there for the shot at the end of the game. The Clippers also have Lou Williams. So, even if it's not Kawhi, you got Lou, who's really good at the end of a game and making a big shot, buzzer beaters, whatever. So, I'm surprised that, you know, maybe I'm surprised, but I am a little disappointed thus far in the lack of talk about what the Nuggets are doing, because it doesn't seem, I mean, I think they're trying to make a trade, but I don't think anything's sticking at the moment. So, what have you heard as far as the Nuggets? Have you heard anything with their trade hopes?
No, nothing beyond what they pulled last night, you know, being part of that 14 deal. You know, I think like the big lift has been for them is Michael Porter Jr. It's just been like pretty, you know, in the last, you know, 10, 15 games been outstanding for them.
I agree with that.
And it almost feels like an acquisition because, you know, beginning of the season, we didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden he's healthy and he's playing well and gives them like some real like scoring punch off the bench and, something they just needed. And, you know, I feel like other than that, I think, you know, I think they're kind of set. I feel like I don't think they're going to make another move. I would be very shocked if they did. You know, it's just they're playing so well. And like Jokic is finally looking like he's in shape. And I mean, unless they could, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, maybe move Millsap. I think he's on an expiry and bring someone in who, but, you know, I feel like they're probably like kind of happy with where they are at right now.
Well, I think they can still be a very good team, even if they don't do anything at the deadline.
Yeah.
I mean, but just that it's a shame that you probably could do something. If it was possible to get Lou Williams on the Nuggets, I think a lot of stuff changes. I think he would be really good for their team. Just as an example, like, I think some kind of a guy that can be a consistent dribble penetrator would be a very big help for the Nuggets. So,
wow, what would that trade look like? So the Nuggets and Clippers.
It would be hard with the Clippers. I mean, Lou would have to be playing for somebody else to even have any chance of him going to Denver, like. To do it with the Clippers, I mean, the Clippers would not do that easily. I'm sure that you're right. That would be really, you'd be talking about draft picks and things, and it's just like, for a bench player, I don't know. That makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, that's a great question. I don't know what they would do.
Yeah, because then, you know, you I mean, if he comes to the Nuggets, and you almost have to think he's starting, and Lou hasn't started in a while, right? I mean, his kind of game is he's a six man, and he just comes in and kind of lights teams up. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like it, sometimes I feel like they could use that other shooter, but then you know, it's like they're such an unconventional roster because Jokic can hit the three and he can make the pass. It's like, even though he's 7 feet tall or whatever, he's you know, it's like having another guard on the team. So I think they're probably done after last night. That would be my guess.
Well, I think that'd be fine. One interesting note about Denver, not related to anything we're talking about so far, is that they have lost their last 9 games in a row at Utah. They cannot beat the Utah Jazz at Vivint Home Smart Home Energy Arena. Now, tonight, they've probably got their best shot at it because the game is very close. It's only a 3-point game as I speak to you. But if they beat the Jazz tonight, that's a huge win because it gets that monkey off their back. So to be that close, it's a pretty good spot for them.
That is good trivia. I did not know that.
Yeah, I read that this morning on Vegas Insider. Yeah, that's
okay.
I think it was covers.com. I read that, but yeah, I didn't know that either. I was like, wow, I didn't realize they were that bad at Utah. So it's a very, very fascinating storyline going into the game.
Definitely, they're down by 3 at this point, but
yeah,
but I'm going to put that game on now.
There's an entire quarter to go. So the third quarter just ended, and I think it'll be, you know, they're going to have a shot. They're absolutely going to have a shot. The Jazz really should have pulled away by now. And so with the door open, it gets very interesting for both teams here in this pivotal matchup, I believe, for seeding in the NBA. Okay, so let's continue with our trade talk. The Cavs want to trade Tristan Thompson. He had a very good start to the season. So it's a really good time to trade him. I think the Cavs are being smart here. I understand that the Cavs want a draft pick for Tristan Thompson's services. They want a first-round pick in return in any trade involving Tristan Thompson. That was reported by The Athletic on Tuesday. Let's see, anything else?
That's another tough one, man. That's an $18 million. I mean, it's an expiring, so that's good. But yeah, they want a first rounder? I mean, it's like, come on.
It seems like a pretty big price for a guy that just barely turned it around, you know, like 2 months ago.
Yeah, I know this year's draft is just terrible. And like, you know, teams aren't holding on to those first rounders, at least of the 2020 draft, like, you know, they would typically, but that just seems like a big ask. I also heard the Knicks are looking for first rounders in return for Marcus Morris. I just think these teams are like totally like delusional sometimes.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, that's just nuts. It says here that the Wizards are not looking to trade David or Davis Bertans. Why would they? He's having a very good year.
I know,
he's
been fantastic. Oh. But he's also in the last year of his deal, mm-hmm. and he's going to be commanding big bucks after the season he's having.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you're the Wizards. Like, what are you spending your money on besides John Wall and Beal?
Well, I mean, that's a lot of the payroll.
Yeah, it's a huge
part. It's like $90 million just for those two guys.
Yeah. Totally. But I mean, like, you know, Wall hasn't played in 2 years, you know? So, Bertans has been unbelievable. I mean, but, you know, in fairness, though, he's been kind of a product of their offense where they're taking a shot every, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's a great point.
But, I've seen those rumors, and I'm just like, wow, what are you gonna get, and how are you gonna get better if you're the Wizards?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see. There's absolutely no point in trying to improve the team for the season that they're in. They're terrible, and is it an exaggeration to say that this is the worst defensive team that you or I have ever seen in our lifetime? I've never seen a team play defense with that little effort. They're not even attempting defense. It's just like, here, go have a basket. Like, that's what they do every game. I mean, you will never see so many teams score 130 plus points on the same opponent as you do with the Wizards. Like, they are easily the worst defensive team in the NBA. I think you could even say that the Pelicans, who were in that group, in that category with them, have been turning it around a little bit. Although they're still not that great, but they're just on a different planet with the defense. It's pathetic. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah, defensive rating is dead last, 116.3. Mm-hmm. That's like points per 100 possessions or whatever. They're. I don't know how historically that compares, but it's got to be up there. They're a mess. I mean, but they are fun to watch though, because they score like crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just those teams that like have the. You know, have those high pace numbers where they, they're shooting the basket a lot. They just, it's hard to play with defensive intensity when you're running back on D after every missed shot. So,
yeah, it can be entertaining, but that does not feel like a winning formula. Like, I think just go up to the floor and just jack up a jumper.
Yeah,
it's not a very impressive offense at all to me. Like, I find this one of the least impressive teams, despite the number of points that they score, because they gave it back too. It's like I'm not buying that. I mean, you can't. You know, who could buy a team that's like a way, 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 way under 500? But my point is, I don't see how that's going to end up being a winning system eventually. Because they just give up too much on the other end. It's just like you're not even giving your players a chance to go back when you do that. So, that's basically. I don't want to spend. That's like the worst team you could talk about right now. Let's continue.
I mean, they're. I think we should just hold out until Miami announces that they got Gallinari. I just feel like something's imminent.
Yeah, I agree.
We know there's about to come out.
Yeah, I mean, we both agreed in this. I don't know if we said this before we got on air or not, but we don't think they're done. We think this is just part one of what they're going to do, and there'll be another big trade announced tomorrow. And I think they need to do that because I feel like as good as their defense has been, they need help. I think they definitely need another piece. And so they got a decent piece. But although you and I don't think it's that good a piece, but on paper it could be a decent piece with Iguodala. But they also need a scorer. They need scoring help, and I think there could be a trade tomorrow that addresses that. So yeah, I'm with you. I think this is just the beginning. Yeah, so I think that's pretty much the gist of what we have on the table right now. There's going to be more tomorrow, I'm sure, because I really feel
One other Lakers thing, sorry.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Just because I saw this, excuse me, and I want to get your thoughts, and I thought it actually made, like, pretty good sense, was the Lakers were inquiring from Oklahoma City about Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, Schroeder, Yeah, I mean, the one thing that they need...
Schroeder is
a guy that... Number one, I feel like he can make his own shot. He can get to the basket. I don't remember what his 3-point shooting percentage is, but that is definitely something the Lakers don't do. Like, not beyond they're not good at it. They don't take that many 3-pointers. Like, they are like 28th in the NBA in 3-point attempts. And I think the Lakers want to improve upon that. So it may be worthwhile. I'm going to look up his stats because I want to see where he is in 3-point.
Yeah, his 3-point percentage is career high. It's a 388, which is very good.
Yeah, it's not bad. You're right. So that would be a good asset.
I mean, typically, like, his career average is like a 320-something, mm-hmm. 33.6% mm-hmm. behind the arc. So he's well above his career norms. So I don't know. Just thought it made sense. I mean, the just really wasn't willing to talk, but I thought it was something interesting. And I admit that trade made, you know, or not that it was a trade, but that that made a lot of sense to me. If you're a Laker fan, because I really do believe they need guards.
Guards, absolutely, yeah, definitely. They need guards. Denver needs guards. Who else needed guard play? Let me think. Does your team need guards? No, you guys got guards. You're great guards.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, you're good.
We need a big man. I mean, we need like a Davis Bertans, or we need a, you know, there were a lot of rumors of Capella to the Celtics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I also have an addendum to the Rockets transaction that says that they're still looking for a center after the fact. So they want to get a center on top of this four-team transaction. Very interesting. I wonder where they would go, I guess is the question. Do they... Well, they can't... No, they can't trade him back. That doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, I wouldn't even... Where would they... They said... It says here, according to The Athletic, that Houston is speaking with two unnamed Eastern Conference teams. If one of them is Philadelphia, I'm going to be blown away. That would be absurd. But I think they do have some centers out there in the East beyond those two. What would you guess? Who would be your guesses?
The only thing, someone like kind of on the level of like a Ken Burch from Orlando. I just got to look at what he's making, but that would, because I don't think he's making a I could be wrong. Let me just check the money. We'd have to figure out what kind of actually, what are the trade machine? What am I doing? Because that's a team that I think might, you know, kind of, they've had a lot of injuries lately and might be looking to make a deal, but I can't see what does Houston have to give up now? Like, Doc Rivers' kid. I mean, what are they going to do? Let me just see what Ken Burch is making. He's making $3 million. So like, what could they do? Like a Tabo Cevallosa and Tyson Chandler for Ken Burch, something like that. I don't know. But why does Orlando do that? I don't see that as a fit.
I would be, like if you really want to shoot the moon, you could try to trade for Vucevic. Like you said, I think you said that. But why would they do that? I guess that's my question. Why would the Magic?
I was thinking Ken Burch. I wasn't thinking Vucevic. I was thinking Ken Burch.
What? Yeah, you said Burch. I remember Burch. Remember you said Burch, but I was thinking if they really wanted to go for it, they could try to make the trade for Vucevic, and that'd be like, wow.
Yeah,
Vucevic would be insane because he's really good. That would be
yeah. He's making $28 million, so that would be
that's true. That's true.
I don't know. I don't know how they would make the salaries match because then you'd have to trade like eight guys to get that.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. That was just a guy who. Just top off top.
What
of my
about
head.
Aaron Gordon? Like, where would he's not necessarily a center, but that could be another choice from the same.
I have heard rumors about Gordon. Maybe on the move.
Well, that was just me spitballing. I don't know either, but wouldn't that be something? Like that?
Yeah,
that would really be something. So, that would be kind of interesting. So, okay, so that's enough of that. I think that was it. Oh yeah, the Pelicans are planning to keep Jrue Holiday, and I think that's solid because I think he's a good vet to have on a team like that. I mean, if you have everybody, if everybody's young, then there are gonna be moments where they're gonna be lost and they'll be trying to struggle to find find direction, just get through bad moments, bad games, bad road trips, whatever. So having a guy like Holiday, I think, would be really helpful for that. The Pelicans in general are looking really good lately. They've been winning more games. I think they lost to Milwaukee, but there's no shame in that, really. Other than the fact that they had a big lead and they blew it at home. But again, it's the Bucks. That's not that insulting to lose to them. So
Yeah, I'm on board. I mean, like with Holiday, it kind of surprised me to hear people saying that they might trade him. I mean, I get that they're a young team, and you know, when they're good again, Holiday will not. I mean, good meaning like challenging for a title. Good, Holiday will not be in the picture, but he's still got. He's got 1 year and a player option left. And so there's no urgency to trade him. And I would hold off on doing anything until, you know, maybe even the off season and seeing if you could to add to your war chest of first round picks. But I totally agree. I think one of the mistakes some of these teams, these young teams make is that they don't put like, useful veterans around, and Drew is such a—I mean, he's such a good defender. He plays hard. I just think he's like a good guy to have around, you know, for the Lonzo Balls for the other guys on, the Zions to have in the locker room. I just think it would be a tremendous mistake to give up on that right now.
Yeah. Kind of an interesting spot, right? So I think that's it as far as the latest rumors. I have to check Twitter and see if anything else broke besides what we've already reported. We've reported quite a bit, though, tonight. I mean, there's been some really wild stuff. Let's see. Now, where are we with the Jazz game? Let's see. Are they still winning? They are winning by 9 points. It is the fourth quarter. There are 7 minutes to go in the game. So that streak is improbable. It's probable to continue, but there's still a decent amount of time for the Nuggets to come back. Low scoring game, though. That much we know. All right. So, I mean, that's all I got. I don't really
know. This is like 1990s basketball score. Maybe not quite that bad, but.
Yeah.
It is pretty low, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a throwback Thursday. It's a throwback Wednesday game for these guys, over there in Utah. So, that's about it. I mean, I think we made some good points in terms of the probable trades, and there's going to be more to come, absolutely. And I was going to do a big Iguodala rant, but since he got traded already, by the time we got on the air, I didn't have that much of a rant, but I am glad the Lakers, whether they meant to or not, did not trade for him, because that would have been bad. I didn't like the optic of him sitting out the first part of the season, because that was a fun team. I just like, why would you not want to play? Like, I didn't understand that at all. I just think that that's not a good look for him, and it would not encourage me as a GM to go after him, because I'm like, I feel like if you're going to be a real winning player, you want to win no matter who you got on your team. And I think that was kind of an extreme case of player empowerment. I mean, that's just being silly. I mean, you can want a better situation, but you had a decent enough team to play with to get in shape, to show people what you got, to increase your stock value. I did not understand where Iguodala is coming from, to be honest. So I think he blew it. I think he really could have had a good opportunity to really showcase himself and drive up his value. Somehow he got the extension anyway. That's what boggles the mind for me. But that's how it goes. So Chris, on Iguodala, I guess that's as far as I'll go. That was pretty much it. Any other thoughts you had as far as the trade deadline? Oh, sorry. I think Chris is unable to hear me. Oh, boy. So I was going on this rant for no reason. He didn't hear me. I can hear him. I can hear Chris.
Sorry. You were kind of cutting out there.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I did hear you typing, so I guess I was able to hear you, but not all the way, because you were cutting out a little bit as well. Anyway, I don't think there's really much else.
You were fired up.
Yes. Yes, I was.
The whole rant. I haven't seen you like I'm glad it didn't work out to where he ended up with Los Angeles.
I know that when the Lakers, what I don't know what exactly happened, but I remember that one time when the Lakers just cratered one day, and I went off, and I remember you were laughing the whole time. I had a good time with that too. I think that was pretty funny. It was a good opportunity to vent. So those are always good. And you've done it too. I mean, you've done it with Kyrie, deservedly so. He's always making it about himself. And so I appreciate you letting me get off on that, because that was just kind of
absolutely no. That's the stuff that's the good stuff, is when you get fired up about sports, right?
Yep. And hopefully the Lakers don't do anything stupid tomorrow. Who knows? Like, it, some of those reports were disturbing, and we'll see.
I got to think maybe that Marcus Morris thing can't be real. I got to see that one to believe it.
Yeah, yeah. It is unusual that the Knicks are trying to get rid of like one big guy and get another big guy, and it's like, don't you have enough like 6'10" power forwards on your team? Like, why do you need another one? Like, it just didn't, that part I didn't quite understand.
It does make sense if you're getting a young piece like Kuzma. I mean, he has his flaws, but like, it would be, you know, I mean, it would be much better than a lot of the flotsam they pulled in the offseason. So,
all right, I think that's fair to say. Let's see. I feel like there's something else I wanted to talk about tonight. And it's not, I'm not going to get into the Mookie Betts deal.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about the Dodgers Red Sox trade.
Well, we are kind of running low on time. I know you're fired up about this one. would you like to comment on the trade after all?
No, I mean, I'm obviously disappointed. It's like, mm-hmm. He's as big a superstar as they brought up.
Yeah, that's true.
In my lifetime, really, when you think about it. I mean,
well, you got Manny, you had Nomar, but in terms of like homegrown guys?
Well, Clemens,
I think you had Nomar, right?
And Nomar.
Yeah.
But a guy, you know, a guy who actually won an MVP. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about like Clemens and Rice, that tier of player. And it just to see him leave in his prime because of money is just insane.
That's tough to wrap your head around that. Like, even on, from my end, it was tough for me to wrap my head around that. It's like, this is the Red Sox. Like, you don't need to be worrying about money and luxury tax and paying for it. That's just silly.
And that just drives me crazy, because the luxury tax is, it essentially, it's so punitive. It's essentially put a salary cap in baseball. And it makes me nuts, because it just encourages the teams that can spend money not to spend money. It's just all it does is,
yeah.
No, I mean, I'm serious. All it does is, you know, encourage teams to, you know, to keep salaries down. And, I'm just bummed about it. And then you look at like revenue sharing and like the teams that, you know, benefit from revenue sharing, you know, and that's where the luxury tax goes is they don't even spend the money anyways. And they're not trying to be competitive.
Exactly.
It makes me nuts. And like, you know, that's why we have this. That's why we have the salary cap in the first, or the luxury tax, but it is right. A salary cap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's the owners just kind of snuck this up here.
Yeah.
And then they're pretending like it's this thing that they have no control over. Like, you made it up yourself. It's so stupid. It's like the players are seeing right through that too. And it's going to get pretty nasty, I think, the next time they negotiate for the CBA. That's coming up in about a year. So,
yeah, it's been a while since, when was the last labor stoppage? Was it 94?
That'd be 94.
Baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, baseball got creamed on that year. So I can't believe they'd be foolish enough to, I don't know.
Well, you would say that, and then you could think back in 94, we said the same thing. We're like, well, they can't be that dumb. They can't let the World Series get canceled, and then it happened.
Yeah.
So that's what's scary about it. You just worry that history, that they made, that baseball in general did not learn from their mistakes. I am hopeful that cooler heads will prevail. It did happen on a couple of occasions in the last 25 years. 2002 is the most famous example. Like, that felt like it was going to be a strike, a work stoppage of some sort. And they worked it out somehow. I don't know how they did it, but they kept on playing. And I was sitting there watching a day game. It must have been July, because I think this happened in July sometime. And I was like, wow, we're playing baseball. I don't believe it. And I was happy. But let's just hope that doesn't happen again. Because it's like, it's not worth all that. Right? Is it? I asked that question.
Yeah. I mean, and this might be the first time that, because we haven't, the labor disagreements have been like lockouts, right? Recently, where the owners are unhappy. But right. I would think this would be a case where the players might go on strike. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's an interesting question. And it could even be possible that the players were going to try to go on strike and then the owners get ahead of it and lock them out first. So that could happen too.
Yeah. Yeah, we've gone back to where it's like the owners. I mean, even though the players, I mean, God, they're making insane amounts of money, but the owners kind of have the upper hand right now because of the luxury tax business. Yep. So.
Well, I think that there's been a lot said about how poorly the players union has been managed by Tony Clark, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not been doing a great job because the priorities have never been addressed. He just kind of sweeps them under the rug and then gets into stupid. And I don't know, I shouldn't say stupid, but less important things like clubhouse meals and like exercise programs and stuff. And these are all good, but it's kind of like beating around the bush as to what the real issues are. And that is where I think they're getting killed because they're getting slowly, taken advantage of on various issues. Service time is a good example of that, where owners are trying to get around the service time cutoff so that they don't have to play players. So they purposely don't call them up until later in the season so that they can avoid the service time and thus not have to pay them at larger salary. It's like, oh man, like it's very disappointing. So I just hope that there's some balance somewhere. But the Red Sox with all this is just so silly. It's like nobody's buying the idea that you're trying to save money. I'm sure I know that you want to be good with your money. You want to be efficient in spending it. But if there is one guy that you can spend $400 million on, I think it's Mookie Betts, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the years are bonkers. Like 12 years, he wants 12 years, $420 million, which,
it is a lot. It is a lot.
Age 38, Mookie Betts is worth anything. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't draw the money. Well, what would it be over 10 years?
Yeah.
420, because you assume he's not going to be great the last couple of years.
Right.
Here's the thing. I mean, sale that extension out of nowhere last year, and the contract to Nathan Eovaldi, and so now they're kind of like paying the piper, and so they had to get rid of Price and Mookie. And it's still unclear how, to me, because I know they're paying part of the Price contract. So I haven't heard exactly how much. I don't really know how much below the cap they are. So it's luxury tax, I should say. But it's just Red Sox, and rightfully so, just because if there's one guy, it would be Mookie. He won an MVP again. Good defensive player, good right fielder. Just remember, like in the 2018 playoffs, he made those incredible plays in the whole bit, and just think he's gone. And I mean, there are optimists in the fandom who are like, well, he's not really gone because he's a free agent. And they could still. They could still make a bid for him. But that just, to me, feels like a long shot initial thinking. And I mean, It has happened that way before when the Yankees traded Chapman to the Cubs and package of prospects and then re-signed him in that offseason. But I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to shed more payroll than go back and get in the Mookie sweepstakes. So I don't know. I say enjoy Mookie Betts. You're gonna love him. He seems like a great guy, good bowler, and to a lesser extent, enjoy David Price, who's still like a pretty good pitcher. He's a serviceable pitcher. So I don't mean that with any malice. I really do hope those guys do well for you because especially Mookie was very entertaining while he was here, and it sucks to see him go.
No, it's a shame. It really is that the Red Sox would be reduced to tactics that the Pirates do. You know, it's
right.
Where are we here with baseball? We're seeing teams that make billions of dollars do this. Well, so be it. And thank you for I do agree that I think Price will actually love it here in LA. I know he's a head case, but he's not going to be the ace of the staff, and there will not be nearly as much hyper pressure on him. Especially since they've already got like Kershaw and Buehler. I'm sure they will get most of the pressure during the postseason anyway. I don't think that's going to be as big of a topic. So
I think he got criticized too much. I mean, in Boston, there were times when he legitimately felt like the ace. And, you know, there were periods, even in 2018, when he'd go on a stretch where you were like, okay, well, we're going to win because Price has been on his game recently. So I wasn't as down on him as other people were. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think about the other part of the deal? So like it was actually a three-team deal.
There's a lot of moving parts to it. So let's comment on some of that. So the Dodgers then sent Kenta Maeda to Minnesota, and Minnesota sent their really hard-throwing reliever Gratterol to Boston, and he looks like he's got a lot of upside. That guy can throw like 100 miles an hour. I didn't get that for Minnesota. Minnesota needs pitching help. I realize that, but I mean, Maeda is good, but I don't think he's worth giving up Gratterol for. Oh, that was didn't love that. Didn't love that, Pope. So that was a very weird decision to go that route. I mean, I guess you're getting pretty desperate for some pitching, right? But and not a big fan of that. So that was number one. And then I think what else was there?
I think that was it.
I think that was it because a separate trade had Jacques Peterson going to the Angels in exchange for Luis Rengifo. That's a separate topic. We don't even need to get into that. So yeah, that was the trade. And and Verdugo goes to Boston, and I love Verdugo. I think he's been an incredible defender, even in like the part of a season that he played. I think he could be the future. Regretful decisions, as you pointed me to when he was in a minor leaguer and during spring training. And I think it wasn't so much what he did, it's what he didn't do that is regrettable. You can read about that online. Apparently some sexual abuse was involved, and I think the problem is that Verdugo did not act to stop it, and he was in the vicinity. So that's despicable. But he also was very young, so I won't comment any further on that. But as a player, he was really good.
Throw him right into right field then, right? I mean, is that,
I would say so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a great arm. He's really good. He's really good. Now, I'm just hoping he learned from that incident, too. I didn't even know about that till you told me about it. I'm like, that's bad. Like, I can't defend that. So I hope he's reformed to some degree since that time. So, tough day for the Red Sox. I don't really have any way to. There's no really any much way around that. For the Dodgers, this feels like a 1 year shot because I don't think they're going to re-sign him unless they just figure out a way to convince him to sign for 4 years rather than 12. And even if it's like 4 years of $50 million a year, I mean, I think the Dodgers would still rather do that than commit 12 years to one player. So I find that very unlikely. And I think my my takeaway is after the season's, well, for that, and my takeaway from the contract is the Red Sox aren't going to re-sign him for that big money. The Dodgers aren't going to do it. Who's going to do it then? There's only like one team left. There's only one other team that can do that. And you know the team, who that team is.
Well, I mean, in fairness, there have been long-term deals that have gone, you know, the Padres signed the former Oriole, what was his name? Former Dodger.
Eddie Murray? Eddie Murray. What am I saying? Oh, Manny Machado.
Manny Machado.
Yeah.
And then, Philly signed, what do you call it? The outfielder. It's a long-term deal.
Harper.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm tired. And so you never know. I mean, there's always teams. I mean, these teams have money. That's the joke about it, Dave.
Yeah.
These teams have money. I mean,
Every team has money. Every team.
They all have money. They can spend if they want to.
Exactly. Every single team in baseball has the money to spend if they wanted to spend it. And I think that it's such BS that they act like they can't afford players. It's such a joke. They can afford anybody. They make a lot of money. The sport makes a ton of money. The stadiums make a ton of money. The TV is insane. Like, this is such a weak excuse. Anytime I see that, it's like, you guys have money. Like, you're just acting like you don't, so you can keep more of the money to yourself. It's such a piece of crap. Every time I see that. Uh-oh. Being a piece of crap.
Denver is up.
Yeah, the Nuggets just took the lead, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Uh-oh. We got some juice here, Popes. What do you think? You think they got the chance to pull the upset here?
Yeah, there's under a minute left now.
Wow. Is this on? Is there a coverage of this anywhere? Is this on NBA TV? Let me go to see.
I don't think it's on NBA TV.
Yeah. I wonder if they've got like a live look-in show. There's so little time left in the game. I feel like we'd have time to get to this. I have to go find it. Oh, yeah, they do have it. I'm watching it right now. Here we go.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So we're probably on the same. Because you have Hulu TV, right? Or Hulu.
Well, no, I'm watching it on the NBA app.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we're probably on a similar delay. I don't think there's going to be much difference in the amount of time. Oh, wow. Wow. It's. And I think the Nuggets have the ball. So this is going to get very interesting. Oh, there's Jokic. Oh, he missed the shot. Am I?
Yeah, I'm about 3 seconds ahead of you.
Oh, you're saying it's ahead of me. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Utah just called a timeout.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what you got to do here. You got to go right to the hoop if you can. I don't think you try to settle for a jumper. It's only 12 seconds. You can't settle for a tie and go to overtime. You have to actually go to the hoop here and make it happen. Wow. So they'll take their timeout. I don't think there are TV timeouts. Are they in commercial? No, right? They're probably just talking.
Yeah, the Jazz called the timeout.
Yeah. So they call the timeout. But I'm saying, like, is it that long timeout where they take a commercial break? I don't know.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll just hang out here and we'll see.
So if you're drawn to the play right now, who gets the ball? Who you send it to? The
you know, you couldn't even give it to Jordan Clarkson because he's been hot. But generally, you would go Donovan Mitchell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think that's a smart thing to do. I was just thinking outside the box the other way, but Mitchell's the guy you want. I think you give it to him.
You got to give some love to your former Lakers, right? So.
Well, I got to give it to him. He's been playing very well since the trade to Utah. He's been very, very good. Utah kind of did their midseason trade. They just did it really early, and he's been paying dividends in a big way. He's still a liability, though. I still think that he's pretty bad on defense, and he turns the ball over like crazy. I don't think that's going to change, but he can score. Like, he can have nights where he's putting up a lot of points. So let us see.
Here we go.
And if I hear any groans from you, I know that something good happened. Let's see.
Oh my gosh. They settled for jumper, Dave.
Oh, did they really?
Conley from about 12 feet.
Oh my gosh, they did. Oh my goodness, look at this. They settled for jumper. What the heck? Yep. They gave it to Conley?
Wow. I said Conley. That's right.
What the hell? That's like the worst thing you could do with that. Like, oh, what are you doing?
Where's Donovan?
What are you doing? He's just standing there. He's standing behind the three-point line. Look, he's just standing off in the corner.
Wow.
What the hell was that play? Oh, my goodness. I mean, I generally think Quinn Snyder's a good coach, but that, I guess they sealed him off or something, because I don't think that's how they wanted to do that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 13-3 run in the last four, almost 5 minutes.
I was going to say, well, they shouldn't settle for a jumper, and then they just settled.
Exactly what they did.
And Donovan Mitchell just standing there wide open, and they don't even give him the ball.
He was nowhere near the ball.
He was nowhere near the ball. And now he gives it up. Oh, what are you going to do, shoot a three? No. What a mess.
Wow.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. That is oh, my God.
I mean, the Jazz controlled the game for most of the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So
that's a bad loss.
Oh, that's crazy. That is a collapse, no doubt. So this time, Denver gets it done. And I think, who had the go-ahead? Like, who had the clinching shot? Not the go-ahead shot, because I think they were already up. Oh, it was just free throws at that point. That's right. So that's a great one for Denver. We were talking about that stat, and now they've broken the streak, and good for them. Good for them. They got it done. Okay, so I think that'll wrap it up. Any final thoughts before we close it up tonight?
No. I'm just glad we got a little excitement at the end. Nothing else. I mean, it's been fun. Like, I fell asleep, woke up this morning, that trade happened, and it was a lot to sift through, but I didn't expect something big to happen. It was kind of cool to wake up and see that. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, in that case, take care of yourself, Chris. Enjoy the weekend, and all the best to you and your family, and enjoy the trade deadline too tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be some more juice.
Same to you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right, bud. That's Chris in Georgia. That's our show tonight. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Some excitement in the NBA, too. We'll also follow the second half of the Heat and the Clippers off the air, of course. But we'll say goodnight. We're back tomorrow, we believe, with the Oscars 2020 preview with a couple cookies and me, and maybe Andy, too. We'll see you next time!